Texas Radio. This is your host, Webster Topley, in Washington, D.C. We have a jam-packed program today. The first issue is a new phase of false flag terrorism now threatening in Beijing, China. This is to be understood as a call to an alert and to a mobilization. And it is this. We've gone through the post-9/11 period. We've had al-Qaeda, bin Laden, and all the rest of that stuff used to manipulate world politics. We're now entering a new phase. This is now the danger of false flag terrorism mounted by the U.S., U.K., NATO intelligence. Call it whatever you want. You know who we mean. This time, focused on the Olympics in Beijing. And the question here is, of course, now the Olympics open in about a week in Beijing. The attention of the world turns to this giant country, the biggest in the world, one of the great civilizations that humanity has produced. The Olympics, the attempt of the Chinese government to assert itself as a fully entitled member of the world community, and the Anglo-Americans want to use this for a stunt. Think Mexico City, 1968. Terrorism, well, in this case, in Mexico City, 1968, it was a protest movement and then a staged attack on them, leading to a bloodbath. Think Munich, 1972. Palestinian patsy terrorists attacking the Israelis and then a massacre, and the world, of course, shocked. So now what have we got? We've got the Beijing Olympics, and of course, this has been a focus, I think, in just about every program for the last 6 months. I have said that the new force that has taken over here in Washington, the Principals Committee, guided by the ideas of Zbigniew Brzezinski and his faction, the people behind the Obama campaign, that faction that we can call Trilateral, Rockefeller, Brzezinski, Soros, you name it. These people are now prepared to launch something against China. Now, here's what we have. From the Sydney Morning Herald, July 27, 2008, a Chinese terrorist organization has warned that it will create havoc at next month's Olympics and has claimed responsibility for a deadly bombing of a bus in Shanghai, China, in May. Various websites are now reporting that a character, a patsy leader, a new bin Laden, if you like, a new Oswald, call him whatever you like. He's Commander Saifullah, sometimes S-E-Y-F-U-L-L-A-H, sometimes S-A-Y-F-U-L-L-A-H. Commander Saifullah of the Turkestan Islamic Party says, first of all, that his group has carried out deadly attacks all over China, and now he wants to strike at the Beijing Olympics. He says, quote, speaking in good patsy talk, through this blessed jihad in Yunnan this time, the Turkestan Islamic Party warns China one last time, says Saifullah, in a video dated July 23rd. This is a transcript made by a somewhat uncertain website here in the United States. Commander Saifullah goes on to say, our aim is to target the most critical points related to the Olympics. We will try to attack Chinese central cities severely using the tactics that we have that have never been employed. This is important. Using tactics that have never been employed. The warnings come one day after the Chinese police claimed that they had succeeded in busting up a terrorist cell that was planning to attack the Shanghai Stadium where soccer games will begin on August 7th. Saifullah also says that his group, the Turkestan Islamic Party, claims responsibility for a bus bombing in Shanghai on May 5th, which killed three people, another attack in Shanghai, an attack in the Chinese city of Wenzhou on July 17th using a tractor that had been prepared with explosives, the bombing of a plastics factory in Guangzhou, south, right, Canton, July 17th, and the bombings of three buses in Yunnan province on July 21st. Now, there are other things that they claim. This is a big turning point, and this is the thing that we've got to watch out for. If it happens, go and ask Anglo-American intelligence. Go ask NATO. Go ask the secret government that brought us 9/11. Except now they've changed. This is no longer an own goal. This is now a direct act of war against China, the biggest country in the world. We'll be back in a minute.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
Promote a worldwide mobilization, worldwide alert against the threat of terrorism at the Beijing Olympics. And this is the main thing here is an article in the Sydney Morning Herald. You can find it. Muslim group declares war on Olympics, July 27, 2008. This is, and then it says, a Chinese terrorist organization has warned it will create havoc at the Olympics, as it did with a deadly bombing of a bus in Shanghai in May. These are no Muslims in any interesting sense. These are not Chinese in any interesting sense. This is U.S. British intelligence. This is false flag geopolitical strategic terrorism. The obvious goal of the Anglo-American financier faction is to create chaos in China, and the Olympics are an opportunity they can hardly pass up. Their wish is to make the Chinese leadership lose face, be humiliated, mortified, and spread the word that they have lost the mandate of heaven. Now, think of this. It's one thing to attack Iraq. It's one thing to attack Iran. You're talking China. 1.2 to 1.3 billion people. Intercontinental ballistic missiles ready to go. H-bombs mounted on them. This is an act of insane, incalculable folly. The Anglo-Americans, the NATO intelligence types, must be stopped. And this Saifullah has got to be exposed in advance as an Anglo-American patsy from the Bin Laden and Zawahiri school, right? Is he a dupe? Is he a psychotic? Is he a double agent? Is he a fanatic? Is he a useful idiot? What is he? Probably all of the above. And this is now the Turkestan Islamic Party. Now, you've got to get out a new map. Your map of the Persian Gulf is not going to be any help in the new world. And I stress again, more and more I conclude, there will be no attack on Iran. Repeat, no attack on Iran. The U.S. and British establishment is overwhelmingly against an attack on Iran. Look around you. Look at reality. People who are telling you that the main danger in the world is an attack on Iran are verging on disinformation at this point. They're just repeating the slogans of yesteryear, or else they're just trying to bamboozle you. The attack that's going on already is the attack on Pakistan. We'll get to that. We've just had the Pakistani Prime Minister, Gilani, here in Washington, D.C. In our second hour, let me pre-announce, we're going to get a special report from Gillian Norman, our special correspondent in Australia, down there north of Sydney, actually Queensland. Queensland, Australia will be coming in with a report on this question of what's going to happen at the Olympics and what you need to know. But for now, what you've got to do is get out that atlas and look at China, and look far away from the coast, look far away from Beijing and Nanjing and Shanghai and Canton and Hong Kong. Look all the way over to Western China, and there you see this vast parched area, desert, semi-desert, Xinjiang province, written Xinjiang. Xinjiang province, it's where the Chinese have done their nuclear tests, because they are a nuclear power, and don't ever forget it. The city there is Kashi, Urumqi, cities like this in far, far western China. The other name for this, Chinese Turkestan. The people are basically Turks. They are Muslims. And, obviously, using the typical methods of NATO intelligence and the false flag method, Patsies have been recruited here. A National Liberation Front with Islamic coloration has been created. And this now threatens to become a vehicle for a disruption of the Beijing Olympics in some form. Now, obviously, they're not the only ones. There's a threat from Tibetan fanatics, people in the service of that despicable feudal parasite and monster, the Dalai Lama, somebody who's been working for the CIA since the 1950s, or sometimes British intelligence. He varies. When he was against the communists, he was working for the CIA. When he was for the communists, he was working for British intelligence. You've also got these Falun Gong fanatics. Remember that crazy woman from Falun Gong who showed up at the White House here in the United States and disrupted a press conference of the president of China? Bush happened to be there at the time, but mainly this was an attempt to insult the president of China. This was therefore an offense against all American citizens. How dare you come into the White House and disrupt it for the purpose of destabilization operations against what is, after all, a friendly country, and we need it to be friendly because it's just the biggest country in the world. If you think you have problems with Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan, imagine what hostility to China would breed. So you're going to have Tibetans, you're going to have Falun Gong, naturally you're going to have the usual Amnesty International British agents running around. You're going to have the various watches, the Human Rights Watch, and all the rest of this. So you're going to have the entire community of non-governmental organizations, NGOs, that is to say, secret intelligence services in drag, are going to be converging on Beijing. Now, naturally, the Chinese government knows this. They are cracking down, as well they might. I wish them success in their crackdown because they're going to prevent a provocation that could pitch the world into a strategic crisis like you've never seen. 9/11 is child's play compared to what is being proposed at this point. Imagine locking the United States onto a course of confrontation with China, the world's biggest country, a nuclear power with intercontinental ballistic missiles and tremendous capabilities that we don't want to find out about. So basically, our program is against terrorism. We oppose terrorism. Terrorism is the method used by the oligarchy to wage war against the people under false pretenses, and this fills the bill. The Turkestan Islamic Party, sometimes known as ETIM, East Turkestan Islamic Movement. The top patsy honcho is Saifallah. Saifallah says, "This is our last warning to China and the rest of the world. The viewers and athletes, especially those who are Muslims, who plan to go to the Olympics, should change their plans and not go to China," says the patsy leader Saifallah. "The Turkestan Islamic Party plans military attacks on people, offices, arenas, and other activities that are connected to the Chinese Olympic Games." And again, he claims attacks on two buses in Shanghai in May, three buses last week in Yunnan, another city. Naturally, you haven't heard anything about this in the U.S. press because this is the buildup. But this is, of course, what the Chinese are responding to with their attempted stringent security measures. Saifallah promises to use methods that have not previously been used. We'll be back in a minute on World Crisis Radio.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio as the attention of the world shifts to Beijing, China, the immense Middle Kingdom, the great emerging world power, the critical future relationship for the United States. We've got provocateurs, patsies, and false flags attempting to create a new strategic crisis in the world, far more dangerous than anything that could ever come out of the Middle East, because now you're talking the world's biggest country. And the provocateur patsy NATO agent Saifala is threatening to use methods that have not previously been used. And this is an organization which is apparently or may well be linked to one plot that was broken up by the Chinese police, the formidable Wu Jin, last week. And remember, back in March, another plot targeting the Olympic Games was disrupted by Chinese security forces in raids in this Turkestan region. Now, some of these people live, it's all inside Xinjiang province, and it's Xinjiang. Older, remember, you have all these transliteration systems. You got your Yale, you got your Wade Giles, you got your Pinyin. Okay, this is Xinjiang, Xinjiang, or Xinjiang, Sinkiang, or Sinjiang. Anyway, you get the idea. Xinjiang, Xinjiang province, Chinese Turkestan. It's also called the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region, and there it's either U-Y-G-U-R or U-I-G-U-R. This is the name of the people particularly involved. The Chinese call them the Hui. The Hui are the Muslim Turkish citizens of China, and one of those little stars on the Chinese flag represents them. So this is obviously a destabilization operation at an extremely high level. Now, the sheep dipping, the atmospherics have been prepared by our friend Dr. Ayman al-Zawahiri. If you read my book, 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in USA, you will see that Ayman al-Zawahiri is the likely British agent, the likely MI5, MI6 agent in the Bin Laden organization. Bin Laden, of course, a dreamer, a misfit, a bungler, someone who couldn't lead four ducks across the road. The actual thinking brain organizational person, the guy who really runs the show, most likely Zawahiri. Now, Zawahiri, and we can call him Zawa for short, Zawa has been including China and Turkestan in his litany of complaints, his cahier de doléances, for the past year or so. Zawahiri gave a town hall in April of 2008 where he complains about a whole series of things that are going on. Mainly it's where Muslim populations are included in countries that are not Muslim or not Muslim theocracies, it's quite a few. For example, he's upset about Russia holding Muslims in the Caucasus, the Philippines holding Muslims in the southern Philippines, India holding Kashmir. Some of these problems are real. You've also got, and then he gets to, the sovereignty of China over eastern Turkestan. He's also got Spain in Ceuta and Melilla, the small enclaves on the coast of North Africa, and indeed the entire Andalusia. He wants to take back Andalusia. But for our purposes right now, Zawahiri has been including in his litany the sovereignty of China on eastern Turkestan. Just parenthetically, remember, the way you've got to read that catalog is to look at Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, Second Chance and Choice, where he talks about dignity, that there's a worldwide political upheaval. Its goal is not economic development, not a better life, not eradicating poverty, AIDS, tuberculosis, malaria, and all the rest. No, it's none of that. It's dignity, and the way you get dignity is not by getting a decent standard of living. What you get is a mini-state or micro-state, which has your characteristics. If you're a blue-eyed, left-handed Methodist pinochle player, you should have a microstate of blue-eyed, left-handed Methodist pinochle players so that you can all be happy together and have high self-esteem. And this is what Brzezinski means when he says human rights. Now, this obviously means, as soon as you mention Chechnya, the Caucasus, Transcaucasus, as soon as you mention Chinese Turkestan, you're on a collision course with the two great powers of today's world, Russia and China. And believe me, it's better not to do it. If you didn't like the Iraq War, you won't like what this all leads to, because it's about a million times worse. We've also got Zawahiri talking in March of 2007, complaining about the blood of Muslims being shed in Iraq, Afghanistan, Palestine, Algeria, interesting, Chechnya, and East Turkestan. How can you do this, says Zawahiri. And then he's got another catalog shortly thereafter. Bosnia, Palestine, Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, Chechnya, Kashmir, Indonesia, the Philippines, and East Turkestan. So get a new map. Forget your map of the Persian Gulf. This is not the center of the world. It never was. The centers of the world are located in places like Eastern Europe, say the Ukraine, right? The old Mackinder heartland, and I'd say we probably got a second heartland right now in that area, Japan, Korea, China. So those are the two places that actually determine the fate of the world. The Mesopotamian issue just is not what they say it is. So this is the group that has now come forward. And again, the goal is to try to create trouble, and it can be trouble on an unimaginable scale. We just don't know. Now, we're going to talk about this in the second hour. Let me also point out that there may be a two-step scenario working here, and it would go something like this. Let's imagine that some patsy group like this, with fairly obvious ties to Anglo-American intelligence, these Turkestan Islamic Liberation Fighters, Turkestan Islamic Army, and Commander Saifullah, Saifullah is the man, and suppose they succeed in doing something bloody or embarrassing. What might occur in a consequence of that? Obviously, the world would be horrified, but there might be something coming out of China, and one obvious speculation is it could lead to measures of retaliation by forces inside China, or maybe forces that are not inside China but pretend to be. That would be something like a disruption of the worldwide internet, something like drop a logic bomb or something of that sort into the internet and cause all kinds of trouble for days or maybe weeks. This would be a way of beginning to organize mass resentment and hatred of China going on inside the populations of the Western world, in particular the United States. So that is your one scenario. It might also lead to a massive dumping of treasury bonds, U.S. treasury securities, by the Chinese government. I think that is much less likely. The Chinese government is much less likely to be involved in this than various kinds of individuals involved. And again, that would also be a false flag response. In other words, the idea begins to sound a little bit like James Bond, but that's where we are, that a provocateur force in response to something happening at the Olympics responds by some action vis-a-vis the internet or world financial markets, but not as a state actor. It wouldn't be the Chinese government, in my estimation. It would be informal networks inside China. It might even be people calling themselves some kind of a secret society, but in reality, they would also be a false flag tentacle of our usual friend.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Thank you.
Mr. Tufte here in Washington, D.C. Now, if we use the Washington Post, let's say, as an index of the real desire of Anglo-American intelligence to pull a stunt in Beijing, we can see that their desire is very lively and very keen. And in particular, what we're getting in the Washington Post is complaints about the security controls that are going on in China. They don't complain about this stuff when it happens in the U.S. They celebrate it. Over here, they think it's great. But when it's done in China, oh my gosh, then it's really liberticide measures that take away your liberty. The Washington Post is now indignant that the International Olympic Committee is not fighting the Chinese government more. The idea, of course, of all of this is atmospherics, to create an atmosphere of chaos, confusion, conflict, charge and countercharge. In particular, we've got the usual provocateurs, NGOs, Reporters Without Borders from Paris. They have issued a guide how you can get around the Chinese government web censorship by using proxy servers. And it basically shows how you can get to the Falun Gong website without, by circumventing what the Chinese government puts in place to try to prevent these people from fomenting all kinds of mischief inside China. Amnesty International is into the act, along with Falun Gong. So they have all basically converged on the Summer Games in order to pull some kind of a stunt. Now, in the case of these people, it's something like a Tiananmen. It's to get a dupa mob, a renta mob of swarming adolescents, fervent idealists on the Tiananmen model, get them into the streets and use that to try to destabilize the country. Amnesty International charges that the censorship in China violates China's earlier commitment and goes against the grain of the Olympic Games. They're complaining that the internet is not fast enough at the media center. At the Beijing International Media Center, reporters could access Wikipedia, but not the site. Major global news sites were available, but the British Broadcasting Corporation Chinese language site was blocked. I know. That's an interesting one, because you remember the Iranian revolution of Khomeini was run through the Farsi language service of the BBC. There is no doubt that orders, marching orders, and plans for destabilization and subversion are being spread by this BBC website. Washington Post has detailed coverage on all of this. You can see that on the internet in an article by Edward Cody, Dateline Beijing, July 30th. So you get the idea. There's going to be a circus. There's going to be chaos. And in the middle of that, we may get the calling card of Commander Saifala of the Turkestan Islamic Liberation Front, again, taking us back to something like Munich, 1972, or Mexico City, 1968. The goal of this will be to create chaos and confusion in China, the loss of faith, the loss of the mandate of heaven. If there are Chinese, and I put Chinese in quotation marks, if somebody launches some kind of retaliation, probably false flag retaliation, against the internet, financial markets, or some combination of that, the goal there would be to take all of the rage and resentment that's building up in the Western world over the Bush economic depression, the price of gasoline. They've been trying to blame the price of gasoline on China. They say, well, it's not speculators, it's not lack of supply, it's the demand is too high. And that means that India and China, but above all China, of course, because India is in a different class, those Chinese are using too much gasoline. They're getting uppity. So there's already a pervasive attempt to try to blame shortages on the fact that China dares to have economic development. So the goal of this thing will be to try to create anti-Chinese sentiment. Let me tell you right away, this program will reject and will combat and repudiate any attempt to develop an anti-Chinese hysteria. China is obviously the most important partner in the world for the United States. From any conceived point of view of American national interest, we must have good relations with China. We cannot allow British intelligence, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Falun Gong, the Dalai Lama, the Tibetans, and other assorted characters to come in with their lady, I use the word advisedly, did at the White House some years ago. If you want to see some more info on this, a website, and it's one you have to watch out for, called IntelCenter.com, IntelCenter.com, has the Turkish Islamic Party Commander Saifullah's video, dated 23rd of July, released a couple of days later, through the Blessed Jihad in Yunnan this time. The Turkestan Islamic Party warns China one more time. And again, the warning is to attack the Olympic Games. So we're going to get more on this from our correspondent in Australia now in the second hour here in just a couple of minutes. Now, let's just look at a couple of other things. Bush is not a party to this, as far as I can see. Why would he be? Why would you tell Bush if you were doing anything important? They didn't tell him about 9/11 in advance, and they're not telling him about this one. Bush has given some conciliatory interviews to the Chinese Xinhua official news agency and so forth, and he's now under attack. All kinds of human rights groups are saying, Bush, how can you give interviews to these Chinese news agencies? They want him, obviously, to insult China. He says China's a great nation with a diligent, intelligent people. That's somehow not acceptable to these incendiaries and provocateurs from British and NATO intelligence. The interest in this part of the world, the other thing we have to mention is, of course, the Caspian Sea and Turkmenistan. And what is this Turkmenistan? Turkmenistan, I guess, can be defined as the area between the Caspian Sea in Central Asia going over to the gates of China proper. In other words, it would include everything up to the beginning of the Tibetan Plateau, and it goes into this area of Xinjiang. It basically goes from the Caspian Sea over to Mongolia and Tibet, where it sort of comes to an end. You can essentially go from Istanbul in Europe all the way to the gates of China speaking Turkish. They're all Turks, and that's why it's called Turkestan. And the four out of those five Soviet republics were, of course, Turkic in their linguistic complexion. The interest has now focused, of course, on the Caspian Sea. This is also where the Iranian card meets the Soviets, right? This is the focus of the great game, as Kipling would have said. This is what the British have been manipulating and meddling in for all these years. The news, of course, from this part of the world now, the Caspian Sea, is that Turkmenistan has granted a very important natural gas contract to the Russian Federation. This only increases the desire of Anglo-American intelligence, NATO intelligence, to cause trouble in this critical area of Central Asia, Srednaya Asia, as the Russians would call it. Again, from the Caspian Sea going east towards Tibet and towards the Tibetan Plateau. Sitting right in the middle, of course, the Aral Sea and Lake Baikal to the north. So you get the idea. And this is the area of the Oxus River that starts up in Afghanistan. So Iran and Afghanistan are the southern borders of this area. China is its eastern border. So this now becomes a focus. And, of course, that's the Brzezinski grand chessboard. We're back in the world of Zbig. We'll be back in a minute. World Crisis Radio, second hour. The big issue this week is red alert at the Beijing Olympics. Watch out for false flag operations steered by U.S. and British intelligence. And this is what we read in this very important article in the Sydney Morning Herald. Now, at the beginning of our next segment, we're going to go to Australia and get further details on this entire situation from Gillian Norman. Let me point out, we had the Pakistani Prime Minister Gilani here in Washington, D.C. This is basically a U.S. asset, U.S. puppet, if you like. But he is in a terrible bind because the U.S.-British plan for Pakistan is now to bust the place up into five or six petty states. You know the list, Pashtunistan, Waziristan, Sindh, Balochistan, and so on down the line, and destroy it. Not because of bin Laden, al-Qaeda, or any silly fairy tales along this line, but because it's a Chinese ally. We just heard in the news, at least as I'm recording this, the original sin of Mugabe. What was it? Why is there so much interest in Zimbabwe? Because he bucks the International Monetary Fund and allies with the People's Republic of China, the only country that's giving him a decent deal with decent loans and decent terms of trade. So therefore, he becomes a human rights violator subject to economic warfare. His country is being crushed by the U.S. and the British, and China is his only lifeline. This is now the world we live in. Wake up, people. There will be no attack on Iran. There is an attack on Pakistan, and China may be next. And I'm not even talking about the Polish missile crisis coming up and the independence of Kosovo under the auspices of a terrorist organization, the so-called KLA. Now, we've got this emergency that we've been going through. Let me take just a couple of minutes to remind you. You've got to get your copies of Obama, the Postmodern Coup. Obama, the Postmodern Coup, the Making of a Manchurian Candidate. It's up about ranking 3,000 on Amazon, destined to go higher. There's tremendous interest in Obama this week because of the release of some biographies, the Jerome Corsi biography of Obama, which is conducted from a neocon point of view. And he can understand a few things, but the main things he cannot understand. He thinks that Obama really is a left-wing subversive. Well, the problem with this is, if Obama's really a communist, why are Rockefeller, Soros, and Goldman Sachs giving him millions and millions of dollars, about $250 million by my count? Since when do Rockefeller, Soros, and Goldman Sachs fund somebody who's a sincere communist? In other words, a Lenin figure. Lenin figure, he is not. Foundation funded, foundation puppet is what he is. And Trilateral, Bilderberg, Rand, CFR, Skull and Bone, Chicago School, and the foundations. You got the picture. So that's the problem with the right-wing or neocon approach. There's another one by a guy called Fredozzo, and there's another one, I think that's called The Case Against Obama. Then there's another one by a guy, it's called The Man Behind the Mask. And again, I think that's more Chicago local color. But the problem is, you need a biography that is conducted from a left or New Deal point of view. Moderate leftism, and that's the one that I'm putting out. Send an email to info@progressivepress.com, info@progressivepress.com, and you'll get on the list the publication of Barack H. Obama, the Unauthorized Biography. Barack H. Obama, the Unauthorized Biography is now imminent. It's a matter of days. We're in the final phases of production on that book. It's coming out very, very soon, and it is really the only one that captures the truth of Obama. Corsi on Sean Hannity last night said, Obama's against war. Against war? Obama wants to add 100,000 troops to the U.S. military establishment. In his Senate campaign, Obama called for the bombing of Pakistan and Iran. And in the Chicago debate, July 2007, a year ago, Obama called for the unilateral U.S. bombing of Pakistan. Hillary said no. Dodd said no. They all said no. McCain said no. Bush said no. I would never do that without my friend Musharraf. the policy that's being implemented is the one that Obama demanded because of the power of the Brzezinski faction behind the scenes, which has now taken over Washington. And a lot of people still can't get it into their head that Bush and Cheney are not there. They're scarcely figureheads anymore. They're janitors, groundskeepers, or whatever, placeholders. They're just keeping the seat warm for Barkey from the establishment point of view. So the other question, of course, is the Puma Conference, August 8th in Washington, D.C., time to stop Obama at the Democratic National Convention in Denver in late August. And, of course, the goal, therefore, is to get an open convention, to have candidates nominated. Clinton is an obvious one, but I'm sure there are some others who'd like to be nominated, have some speeches in favor of them, a floor demo to liven things up, not just wall-to-wall Obama-rama, Obama-vision, Obama-mania, not just some empty exercise in hype like we saw at the Siegeszäule victory column in the Tiergarten there in Berlin. So that's the Puma program. So everybody's invited to come to the Puma 08 conference. Go to Puma 08 on the internet. Find out about the details of this conference. It's August 8th in Washington, D.C. There may be some means to participate also by means of the internet. We've also got, again, we've talked about Obama, the postmodern coup. We've talked about Barack H. Obama, the unauthorized biography. That's coming up next. Obama, the postmodern coup is going to be available in German from the Kopp Verlag, putting the finishing touches on that, and I believe from a Japanese publishing house very, very soon. So the two key countries, right, the two sides of the nutcracker that our friend Zbigniew would like to operate around the borders of the Sino-Russian bloc, those are places where they need to learn the truth about Obama. And, of course, Obama cutting a sorry figure this past week, falling in the polls. Just one little note. It's more cultural than anything else. The speech where Obama says you've got to inflate your tires and get a tune-up for your engine. Who does that remind you of? Do you remember the Saturday Night Live version of Carter, I think played by Dan Aykroyd, where he gets calls from the State Department and the guy says, my teletype machine is not working, and Carter tells him which screws to adjust to make it work? And then a guy calls in and says he's had a drug overdose, and Carter gives him detailed instructions on how to treat himself, right? If you've got a beer in the refrigerator, why don't you go ahead and drink it? This is pure Carter. Everything is pure Carter, except it's Carter 100 times worse, 100 times more dangerous. We've even got Stu Eisenstadt coming back. At the meeting of economic experts, with Barkey, he had Robert Rubin of Citibank, which is a black hole of bankruptcy, sitting to the left of him. And to the right of him, he had Paul Adolf Volcker of the Trilateral Commission, the governor of the Federal Reserve, head of the Board of Governors, 22% prime rate, who destroyed U.S. industry. The reason you got all those bitter clingers out there in Pennsylvania and Ohio, right, the jobs were destroyed, he says, and they didn't come back? Yeah, who destroyed the jobs, Barkey? It was your friend, Paul Adolf Volcker, and that 22% prime rate. In other words, you know, we had Stalin, Tojo, Hitler, Mussolini, all wanted to blow up those steel mills. They never could. But Volcker did, could and did. We'll be back in a minute.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Washington, D.C. Let me just introduce our, pardon me, very, very distinguished guest who's going to join us now in a minute. It is Jillian Norman, who's going to be speaking to us from Queensland in Australia. Jillian Norman worked for a number of years for the television staff of the British Broadcasting Corporation, the BBC. She was a staff researcher. She worked for BBC Radio in London. Later on, she became a freelance reporter based in Central America, reporting for the British Broadcasting Corporation, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and U.S. National Public Radio. She also wrote articles as a correspondent for the London Sunday Times and for the Daily Express. She founded Insight Video, or participated with it. She produced documentaries and TV news reports back in the 1980s, the hot area there, the Contra Wars and related issues going on then in Central and South America. Among these documentaries, The Pentagon Republic, Honduras, The Undeclared War, Solidaridad, Faith, Hope, and Haven, Green Gold, Black Gold, Cruel Land, and The Dark Light of Dawn, which got the award for the best documentary at the New York Global Village Film Festival. Friends of this program know her above all as the producer-director of Shadow Play, which has been shown at a number of 9/11 conferences in North America, surely at Vancouver here last June 2007. Which I believe, from the point of view of strategic questions, as distinct from the purely technical issues involved in 9/11, from the strategic point of view, it is, of course, the best and most comprehensive international picture of the main people who have contributed to our understanding of 9/11, going from Thierry Masson in France, Jan Libashov of Russia, Andreas von Bülow in Germany, and a number of people in Britain and elsewhere. So let me welcome Jillian Norman. She's going to give us a report on what's going on at the Olympics. Jillian, are you there?
Yes, I am. And thank you, Webster. It's a great honor to be on your program.
Right. Now, we have to do a couple of things. I think we have about three segments. It means we've got about 30 minutes. So we've got to do justice to this issue in China. I've already tried to provide some of the ideas, but we want to hear it again from you and your characteristic take. And then we've got to move on to the issuance of Shadow Play and how people can participate in that. But right now in this segment, let's use this segment and the next one to talk about Beijing. Now, I know you have a report, so why don't you just take it away? You have the floor.
Yes, this is a report titled 888 Olympics Threat Cover-Up. Lithuanian President Valdas Adamkus is the first head of state to announce that he will not be attending the Olympic Games. As the puppet master snaps his fingers, China and the culpable Western mainstream news media cover up very serious threats to the Beijing Olympics that could potentially affect the safety and lives of thousands, if not millions, of people within a week's time on August 8th. Shifting shadows of deception like veils fluttering with illusion delude the masses, keeping them distracted with bread and circuses while the sleight of hand goes unnoticed. Wrapped in the circus of an election charade that laughingly poses a model for world democracy, with Tweedledum and Tweedledummer sparring for first place in a rigged appointment of the next puppet figurehead, while the real play is hidden in plain sight. And just when the tubby American telebaby has learned where Iraq is on the map, suddenly the scene shifts and the puppet theater of war opens with a new act and different players on an entirely new front. According to historian Webster Griffin Tarpley, it's already clear that the ascendant Dark Lord holding the reins of power in Washington right now is Zbigniew Brzezinski. With the neocon Bush-Cheney sock puppets, little more than lame criminal figureheads. Veteran Polish-born Brzezinski was President Carter's national security advisor and is now foreign policy advisor to presidential candidate Barack Obama. He has never wavered in his goal of fomenting war with both Russia and China, in a last desperate attempt to secure the unchallenged reign of lagging Pax Americana. Neither has he reneged on his open anticipation of another major false flag attack in order to trigger the war he so desires, to defang the currently powerful China-Russia alliance and brutally dismember China by carving, as planned, that mighty imperium into many warring vassal states. Significantly, it was this same Brzezinski who instigated the formation of the Mujahideen, who were armed and trained by the CIA to fight Russia in Afghanistan. This murderous terror network was then used to carve up the former Yugoslavia. Serving as the oligarch's cat's paws, that same network still continues to carry out dirty deeds under International Intelligence Agency control and is cynically now known as Al-CIA. As he reveals in his influential book, The Grand Chessboard, Brzezinski's devilish strategy is the clash of civilizations, provoking wars and creating the chaos out of which the elite cabal of kingmakers intend to establish an Orwellian plutocracy, a drab Fourth Reich in a fascist regime that nobody likes. The enticing grandeur of powerful delusion is grasped with a mighty iron claw that brutishly smashes all in its path in a vain attempt to maintain the reins of global power firmly in the hands of an increasingly dysfunctional ruling oligarchy. The barren wasteland in the northwestern region of Xinjiang province of China is known as East Turkestan by local Uyghur separatists. They've been dormant since the late 1990s, but the CCP claims to have just cracked their plot to blow up a football stadium in Shanghai during the election, the Olympics next week. They say they've also busted 12 terrorist cells in Xinjiang and just foiled a hijack attempt on a passenger flight. China's Ministry of Public Security says it's also recently uncovered a plot by the Turkestan Islamic Party to attack hotels, government offices, and military targets in Shanghai, Beijing, and other major cities, and to kidnap athletes, foreign journalists, and spectators at the Olympic Games starting on August 8th. The prospect of another 9/11, an event repeatedly heralded as inevitable by the American marionettes du jour, is something everyone fears. A fear that has been deliberately fed.
We'll be right back on World Crisis Radio. To World Crisis Radio. This is your host, Webster Topley in Washington, D.C., calling your attention, as always, to Obama, the postmodern coup, the making of a Manchurian candidate, available at Amazon.com, inviting you to send in inquiries to info@progressivepress.com. That's information, info@progressivepress.com. If you want to get notification of the publication date of the Barack H. Obama, the unauthorized biography, which is now imminent. But right now, back to Gillian Norman in Queensland, Australia, who's giving us a very valuable lowdown on the danger now gathering around the Beijing Olympics, especially from the side of U.S. British intelligence forces determined to pull a stunt. Please go ahead, Gillian.
The prospect of another 9/11, an event repeatedly heralded as inevitable by the American marionettes du jour, is something everyone fears. a fear that has been deliberately fed to ramp up waning support for genocidal wars. But that dread anticipation has got everyone twitchy, wondering just when the next shoe is going to drop. And just as with 9/11 false flag attacks, Brzezinski notes that this strategic attack on China needs another catastrophic and catalyzing event, a blood sacrifice to the hideous gods of war to feed a frenzy of fear and terrify people into compliance. Just as on 9/11, that horrendous self-inflicted wound, when a false flag act of state terrorism was masked by the duped circus of supposed kamikaze Arabs that couldn't fly a Cessna. So also the current prepared false flag provocation, the trigger event to advance the globalist world domination agenda in China, is prepared in advance and masked to hide the real perpetrators. On July 25th, the private American intelligence company called Intel Center, with offices in Virginia, published the transcript of a 3-minute video with a still shot of three masked men. The video, posted briefly on YouTube, then removed, shows the group's young leader, Commander Seyfeller, speaking the Turkestan language, we who are, as he issues a final ultimatum to China that his group is ready and able to attack the Olympic Games and major Chinese cities using weapons of mass destruction. Commandante Seyfeller says this, despite repeated demands by the Turkestan Islamic Party that China and the international community must cancel the 29th Olympics in Beijing, the Chinese have haughtily ignored our warnings. The Turkestan Islamic Party is prepared and has already started urgent actions. We will attack Chinese central cities severely, using new tactics that have never been used before. He strongly warned spectators and athletes, particularly Muslims, not to attend the games that are due to start in Beijing next week. The Chinese government reports that the Turkestan Islamic Party receives money, weapons, and support from al-Qaeda, but despite using all kinds of real and faked terror as a pretext to suppress political dissent in Xinjiang province, beef up the military, detain thousands of innocent people, and restrict religious rights, China has made absolutely no mention of this very serious ultimatum. The grave warning was also barely heeded in the Western puppet media. Many eyebrow-raising questions and curious inconsistencies swirl around this upstart Islamic Uyghur front group. Boy soldier Seyfeller, speaking in the video issued by a private international intelligence company, is a wide-eyed kid from the backwoods of Turkestan who threatens China and triggers terrorist sleeping cells with the alert that they are now authorized to use biological weapons of mass destruction against athletes and visitors to the Olympics, and nobody says a word about it. Could this be the next group of patsies set up for an imminent false flag attack? Here we see the CIA's latest fall guy. Say, fella, what we tell you. The handsome young Uyghur rebel without a cause. Actually a broken shadow puppet who sadly believes he will ride to glory with a host of adoring virgins as he fronts for the threats, attacks, and provocations of the al-Qaeda network of assassins, thugs, and guns for hire. Boy Seyfeller claims his group has had special training, al-Qaeda training is what he means, and they have already begun operations against China with bomb attacks in 2 buses in Shanghai in May and 3 buses in Yunnan in July. This masked fighter then makes entirely spurious claims, taking responsibility for several disparate acts of brutality that his group seems to have had nothing to do with, including a supposed attack on a plastics factory and an attack on police forces in Wenzhou with an explosives-laden tractor that, as it turns out, had already happened 2 months earlier and was actually carried out by a disgruntled gambler as revenge on a local gambling den. Say, fella, also belatedly lays claim to an earlier rather nasty YouTube video from Pakistan showing 3 stripped naked Chinese men forced into what seems to be a criminal, heartless performance of humiliation and cold-blooded assassination before the eye of the camera. Perhaps it'll help bolster their emerging image as the new al-Qaeda to be seen with a substantial track record of grisly deeds. Boy Say Fella claims to represent the voice of Islam Information Center of the Turkestan Islamic Party, acronym TIP, T-I-P. And the tiny tip that gives away the true origin of this fake group is the repetition of a little typo in the group's press information, issued coincidentally by the same private American intelligence company. In the press release of the supposed separatist Turkestan Islamic Party, spelt is written by an
searching for Craig Talk Radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Go to Puma 08, get the lowdown on the important Puma convention, anti-Obama Democrats and others gathering at the Wardman Park Hotel here in Washington, D.C., the scene of the crime by Howard Dean and Donna Brazile back at the meeting of the Democratic National Committee Rules Committee, where the nomination was assigned by administrative fiat to Barkey Obama, even though he had gotten a minority of the votes in the primaries. Remember Obama, the postmodern coup, the making of a Manchurian candidate, available at Amazon.com, climbing in the rankings and about to be joined by Obama, the unauthorized biography, of Barack Hussein Obama, which is going to be available from Progressive Press of California. Send an email to info@progressivepress.com, info@progressivepress.com, and you'll get a notice of when this is available. It's coming soon. We're just back here in Obama's early life. I guess we're going to have to devote a couple of programs, maybe the entire month of August, to a review of Obama's personal story here. And I guess as the Olympics come on, unless Brzezinski is able to pull that stunt, we'll be able to devote some of this time to that. The question is Frank Marshall Davis. Obviously, not really a Marxist. He's already a black pork chop cultural nationalist with a veneer of Marxist phraseology, more of an existentialist than a Marxist. And the other thing, of course, is the reports now that he was already gay back in the 1940s, 1950s. So an important influence on Obama's life. Sort of the first mentor, the first substitute father that he gets into. Now, Frank has warned Obama he's going to be recruited. Now, when Obama gets to Occidental College, that's where they're going to send him to college, near Los Angeles, he becomes interested in, well, he says, acquiring an identity. Hawaii is already very cosmopolitan. The race issue is not the primary thing, although Obama wants to make it so in retrospect. Obama at this point says, I blew smoke rings, remembering those years. Pot had helped, and booze, maybe a little blow when you can afford it. So pot, marijuana, booze, a little blow, meaning cocaine. Not smack, though, not heroin. Mickey, my potential initiator, had been just a little too eager for me to go through with that. Obama was in a, looks like he's in a refrigerated meat locker in Dreams of My Father. The needle and the tubing had been on him, but then he got cold feet standing in a meat freezer in a deli, and then he backed out. He had been on his way to joining his friend Ray, a guy who then went to jail. Junkie, pothead, that's where I had been headed, the final fatal role for the young would-be black man. So he was on the verge of injecting heroin, but he did not inject. It's another version of he didn't inhale. This time he didn't inject. So at Occidental College, he joins the eclectic group, a lot of third world students, and in particular, lots and lots of Fanon, and this is the important one. Here's what Obama writes. To avoid being mistaken for a sellout, I chose my friends carefully. The more politically active black students, the foreign students, the Chicanos, right, Mexican activists, the Marxist professors and structural feminists and punk rock performance poets. We smoked cigarettes and wore leather jackets. At night in the dorms, we discussed neocolonialism, Frantz Fanon, Eurocentrism, and patriarchy. Now, here we have the aspiring president wandering through the postmodernist, proto-fascist rubble field. And the name that you've got to know is Frantz Fanon, because that is really the biggest intellectual influence on young Barkey. So Fanon, 1925 to 1961, he's a French-speaking psychiatrist born on the island of Martinique in the Caribbean. He's a kind of Rousseau, and he's promoted by Venetians, by Umberto Campagnolo of the Société Européenne de Culture, one of the most important international think tanks between 1945 and 1975. The big book of Fanon is called The Wretched of the Earth, Les Damnés de la Terre, 1961, the introduction to the most common edition written by Sartre, the existentialist pope. So the idea is, it's radical chic, it's a European existentialist. He's not from a third world slum or favelas. He's not from a third world rice paddy, but he's a Parisian existentialist, no matter what he does. And Fanon is the guy who is a precursor of Pol Pot in Cambodia. He's also a precursor of these Islamo-Marxists like Ali Shariati and Bani Sadra of Iran. And the main thing is the necessity of purgative violence. The point is, from Fanon's point of view, you've got to destroy Western civilization, drive them out, and you need purgative violence in the tradition of George Sorel, S-O-R-E-L, the theoretician of purgative violence, who was so important for the young Mussolini. Violence, says Fanon, violence is a cleansing force. It frees the native from his inferiority complex and from his despair and inaction. It makes him fearless and restores his self-respect. So violence is one of the key points. The hatred and rejection of Europe. Let us leave this Europe where they are never done talking about man. They talk about humanity, but they kill people wherever they find them. Let us decide not to imitate Europe, writes Fanon. We just got to dump the Europeans. Now, of course, there's one thing worse than Europe in Fanon's mythology. It's the United States. Here we go. Fanon writes, this is a big influence on Barkey. Here's where you get Obama's core ideology. This is it. Two centuries ago, a former European colony decided to catch up with Europe. It succeeded so well that the United States of America became a monster in which the taints, the sickness, and the inhumanity of Europe have grown to appalling dimensions. Comrades, writes Fanon, have we not other work to do than to create a third Europe? The West saw itself as a spiritual adventure. It is in the name of the spirit and in the name of the spirit of Europe that Europe has made her encroachments, that she has justified her crimes and legitimized the slavery in which she holds four-fifths of humanity. So the United States of America is a monster, writes Fanon. The main intellectual influence on Obama, not a Marxist, not a Muslim, but a Fanon, violent, third world, anti-Western revolutionary. There's also interesting stuff from Fanon where he says, workers, you're going to talk Marxism? No, the workers of Europe believe in the European spirit. They're just as bad as all the rest of them. So that's the wretched of the earth. Les Domnes de la Terre. Obama is a third world Fanon existentialist. That's much, much worse even than being a Marxist. So check Puma 08 and above all check Obama, the postmodern coup, available at Amazon.com. And we'll see you next week here on World Crisis Radio.